Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Living Hope. We are glad that you're here, all of you here in the room, all of you joining us online. We're glad you're here, too. We'd like to begin our services with this greeting that Christians have been using for a long, long time. The Lord be with you. Thank you. Yeah, we believe that's true, that not just at Christmas time when we're celebrating that, you know, Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us, but all the time we remember and we celebrate that, man, the Lord is with us, that he meets us right here in the reality that we live in, not in some fantasy land that looks like the front of a Christmas card where everything's perfect, but in the reality we live in with all the mess, the grief, the good, the bad, everything else. This is where God meets us. So let's bow our heads and pray to him as we begin. Thank you, God, for meeting us here, where we are, where we live, in reality. Oh, help us not to play games with you, God, or with ourselves. Help us to be honest with you about what we need from you today. And you be honest with us about what you need from us. Use everything we do in this service, God. The songs, the prayers, the scriptures, the table. Use all of it, God, to connect our hearts to yours. To help us to hear from the God who made us and loves us and has given us his son. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. Well, if you're able, interested, let's stand and let's sing.
Let's crush the serpent's head, our resurrected great I am. I call you. Dead things come alive. Dead things come alive. Dead things come alive in the name of Jesus. Dead things come alive. Dead things come alive. Dead things come alive in the name of. I call you Jesus. I call you. I call you healer. Risen and reigning in power. Something comes out of the grave. Every time I call you Jesus, I call you, I call you Savior. Worthy of glory forever. Something comes out of the grave. Every time I call your name. Are you past the point of weary? Is your burden weighing heavy? Is it all too much to carry? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Do you feel that empty feeling? 'Cause shame's done all it's stealing, and you're desperate for some healing. Let me tell you about my Jesus. He made away where there ain't no way, rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Let my Jesus change your life. The past to disappear. Oh, let me tell you about my Jesus and all the wrong turns that you would go and undo if you could. Who can work it out for your good? Let me tell you about my Jesus. He makes a way where there ain't no way, rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. All we'll see.
Amen. I invite you to pray with me, will you? Lord, you truly are a great God. Often we look to the big things to see your greatness. We look to the mountains, we look to the sunsets, we look to the majesty of your creation, and yet, Lord, your greatness is shown in the small things too. Your greatness was shown in a baby, sent for us, sent to grow and to lead a band of people that we would never have considered to be world changers, Lord. Sent to die so that we could know you, so that we could have life with you, we could have relationship with you. Lord, we see you, your greatness in the small things in our own lives, in those places where you've provided, those places that you've shown us that we can trust you. In those times, in those moments, in the quietness, when you've just come up beside us and whispered how much you love us. I thank you for your greatness. I thank you, Lord, for your vastness and your mightiness and your holiness, Lord. But I thank you for those quiet times, for those small things where we see just how truly great you are in those places we never would have expected to find you. Thank you, Jesus, this morning. Thank you that on this Love Sunday of Advent, Lord, we can focus on just how much you truly, truly love us. Especially when we behave unlovely or unlovable. And yet you love us so much that you became Emmanuel, God with us. We praise you this morning. I thank you for each person that's here with us, that's in this room joining us online, Lord. Each one of them is so precious to you, so precious to us. Be with each one of us this morning as we sit in your love this morning. Thank you for inviting us into that place, into this place. And be with Pastor Rich this morning as he brings your word. May we hear it. May we take it in. May we obey what it is you have to say to us this morning. As we pray these things, giving you honor and glory and blessing. Amen and amen. And now the peace of the Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Thank you so much. Take a few moments, if you will, and pass the peace amongst yourselves.
While the folks in the room are finishing conversations and coming back together, I just want to say another quick hello to those of you joining us online. Sorry about the technical difficulties at the beginning. That was my fault. I pushed a button, and I wasn't supposed to push it. So anyway, if any of you would like to communicate with us how we can be praying for you, thanking God with you, if you have a question, you can either go to livinghope.info/connect, or if you're here in the room, you can grab a little green card in the back and fill that out, drop it in the offering box. If you're giving today, you can do that, drop that in there too. You can give online. That works for all of us. And thank you again to all of you who've given so generously this past, over the course of 2025. We're getting close to the end of the year, and I know as the church board looks at the books, they're like, well, we're not quite in the black, but so if you would like to help us end the year in the black, we're a few thousand dollars behind as we're getting to the end. Obviously, we will accept any gift you want to give. So just like always, you guys talk to God about what he'd have you give, and then you just be obedient to God. And whatever he tells you to give here, whatever he tells you to give other places, you do that, and we'll all be able to do what God wants us to do. I see on the back, just real quick, you walk past it on your way in, that Christmas tree with the little tags on it is a Warm a Home tree. If you want to grab one of those and put a check in that envelope made out to First Contact, that helps our neighbors keep their heat on, keep their rent paid over the course of this winter. Or you can give to the Good Neighbor Fund if you're giving through the church, and we'll pass that on along to them. Let's see what else. Oh, yeah, Christmas Eve in just a few days, Wednesday night. We'll be right here, 5 o'clock. It'll be nice. It'll be, well, it might be warm and raining. I don't know. We'll see what the weather does for us. But we will celebrate the Christmas story and Christmas carols and celebration of communion, and we'll all leave with Christmas cookies to take with us to to bless people who maybe they're having to work the holiday. Maybe you know you've got a neighbor who's just alone and they're not going to wander into a church, but they need the church to come to them. And so if you want to help the light of Christ kind of invade their life this Christmas, you can take some Christmas cookies home with you after the candlelight Christmas Eve service. And oh yeah, and then there's just a note back there. If you like to make cookies, we'll take them, because then we'll box them up and we'll give them away at Christmas Eve. So I know Deb's going to be here tomorrow from like 9 to noon in the office. I'm in and out the next couple of days. And then I don't think any of us are working Christmas Eve during the day. But if you have cookies you need to get to us, let us know. We'll find a way to get those cookies from you so we can have them all boxed up and ready to go. All right, I think before we dive into the message, I think we're going to have Miguel and Pastor Judy come and do the Advent reading and light the candles for us. Many of you have met Miguel. He's on loan to us from Brazil and only has a little time left before heading back home. So, yeah, thought we might get him up in front of you before he has to go.
Today is the final Sunday of Advent. Over the past 3 weeks, we've reflected on the hope, the peace, and the joy of God. Today, we light those three candles again as a reminder that even in our waiting, we are a people of hope, peace, and joy. We do not give in to despair, but we hope in the God who is not dead and does not sleep. We are not overwhelmed by the chaos, but we live in the peace of God that transcends all understanding. And we know the joy of God even as we experience and lament the pain and sorrow of the world. Today, we reflect on the love of God. We remember the God who created the world and included beauty just for us. We remember the God who heard the cries of the Israelites and redeemed them from slavery in Egypt. We remember the God who constantly draws us back to God's self when we go astray. We join with the psalmist in Psalm 36, 5-9 to proclaim,
"Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains. Your judgments are like the great deep. You save humans and animals alike, O Lord. How precious is your steadfast love, O God. All people may take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your delights. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light."
We light the candle of love as a reminder that God is love, and we are called to love as God has loved us.
Thank you, guys. You did such a fabulous job, they clapped for you. Wow. Oh, man, I am thankful for this time of year as we remember all of who God is for us and remember the hope and the peace and the joy and the love that he brings. Could we bow our heads for just a moment before we dive into the message? Thank you, God. Pausing to light some candles kind of helps us to shift gears a little bit from all the busyness and all the stuff that's going on to this opportunity we have to listen for your Spirit speaking to each one of us. Just like these little candles provide some light, God, we pray that your light would shine in our hearts, that we would hear your voice. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I love that psalm that was selected for today. This reminder of God's steadfast love, this love that doesn't quit, this love that doesn't fail, this love that continues through all of our inadequacies, our rebellions, our sin. The story of the Bible is a story of God's love from start to finish, beginning to end. It's a story of a God who, out of love for us, creates us and gives us, all the beauty that we enjoy in this world, creates a very good creation, and places us right in the middle of it to partner with him in caring for and leading this good creation. And then as we all know, if you've read past the first page of the Bible, we mess that thing up. And that's the story of all of us. I mean, every single one of us, we take what God has given us and we mess it up. We take that brand new car that he gets us with a big bow on top. Do they still do those commercials? I don't think I've seen any of those this year, but there used to be commercials all the time this time of year, like the person goes outside to the car with a big red bow. Anyway, we get this beautiful gift of life from God, and we, as soon as we pull it off the lot, it's like we slam into something, you know, or we put it in the ditch. You know, we don't know how to live this life that he's given us. If we would just listen to the God who made us, the God who's given us this life, it would be so much better. That psalm ends by saying, with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. It's this idea that God helps us to see clearly who we are, who he is, and what life can be, what life can be like. So from beginning to end is the story of God loving us in spite of those failures. The Bible would be a very short book otherwise, wouldn't it? We'd have the first couple of chapters, and then we sin, and God just said, forget it. The end, you know. I don't know. I don't know. Something tells me somebody should write one of those. Anyway, that's not the way the story goes. The way the story goes is that God continues. He persists. He has steadfast love for us, for broken, messed up, ornery, rebellious us. By the time we get to the second book of the Bible, Exodus, as God has heard the cries of his people and rescued them from slavery in Egypt, and he's leading them to this promised land, he's led them to this mountain where he meets with them, where he meets with Moses, and he's introducing himself to his people because they've forgotten who he is by this point. And God introduces himself like this, says, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Boy, thank God. Thank God. Yeah, thank God. This is what God is like. Man, I'm grateful for that, for his faithful love that he abounds with. It's like overflowing with love and faithfulness. So grateful that he forgives my wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Thankful that he's a God who doesn't give up on us as individuals or as a people, as a race, as humanity. Because I know, I talk to you, you know, and I know that there are times some of you feel like, man, this whole thing just isn't worth it. Like, why did God even bother with all of this? I got one friend here in town that he perpetually kind of cycles back to this idea that, like, man, really, God should have just stopped with the animals. He just shouldn't have created human beings. You know, the world would have been such a better place if we weren't here to mess things up. And I know sometimes it feels that way. Sometimes it feels like it's just kind of beyond hope. But like we have wrecked this thing beyond all recognition, and there is no repair possible. But that's not the story of the Bible. That's not the story we read there. We read of a God who is so committed to us. So committed to loving us in spite of our failures. So committed to restoring and redeeming the damage that we have created, the damage we've done to ourselves, to each other, to everything, to the entire project, that he comes to us. He enters into the middle of the mess, which is what we celebrate at Christmas time. It's what we anticipate in the season of Advent. I love that John in his gospel reaches all the way back to the beginning, kind of echoes Genesis, says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He's grasping for something to try to make sense of who Jesus is and how Jesus fits into this whole thing. And he's saying, well, they had this idea of the Word, of the Logos, the kind of the reason, the structure behind it all. And they had Genesis with God speaking creation into existence. And he's like, well, okay. So he grabs onto this idea. Says, well, the Word was there in the beginning. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that's been made. In him was life. And that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness. And the darkness has not overcome it. He's kind of echoing that psalm, maybe, about how with you is the fountain of life, and in your light we see light. He's saying Jesus brings life, brings light to all of us, shining in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. If you are feeling or if you have felt, especially in this time of year when it can be so dark, if you ever have ever felt like the darkness is winning, if you turn on the news and it feels like, oh, it's just overwhelming, I go back to this verse. I go back to this right here. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. A few verses later, in case any of us missed who he was talking about, he says, the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. As he has come and set up shop, made his dwelling, made his home here with us. He didn't just pass through. He didn't just shout from the sky. He came and made his dwelling among us. And in him, we've seen God's glory, God's grace, God's truth revealed in a human person. We've seen the love of God invade our reality. You know, the theme today is love. And love can get us so mixed up sometimes, right? I mean, because we use that word in so many different ways, and we think there's so much sentimentality around that word love, you know. I think sometimes of the, you know, the Christmas movies that play this time of year, and so many of them, it's syrupy, sappy, you know, whatever. It's all this sentimentality, it feels like. I don't know. Some of you love it, some of you are allergic to it. But, you know, we can get this idea that love is mostly about kind of some emotion that we're feeling inside us when we see that person or we think about that person. And so we come across stuff like Jesus saying, you got to love your enemies. And we think, well, I'm never going to have warm fuzzies for that person. They, you know, they hurt me. You know? Or we read about God loving us and we think, well, does that mean that God has like warm feelings about me? What does that mean? And love is more than a feeling, especially in Scripture when we read about God loving us. He's talking about actions that God is taking to choose us, to love us, to come to where we are like Jesus did, coming to us in our need, in our mess, so that his life, so that his grace, so that his truth, so that his love can overflow into our lives. It's a little bit like when you have a friend who comes and meets you when you're in a place of need, like you're in the hospital or something, and they come and they sit with you. Right? Or you've got a loved one in the hospital and you're waiting and waiting to hear the outcome of a surgery, and you've got that friend that comes and just sits and waits with you. They can't do anything about it. They can't change the outcome. But you know they love you because they're there, sitting with you as you wait. Or showing up at a funeral. The people who show up, we never know what to say, right, in those moments. We show up at a funeral, and it feels all awkward, and we're like, oh, man, I'm so sorry. I'm praying for you. Hopefully, we don't say anything too stupid or hurtful. But just your presence, right? You've been there, where just their presence says, oh, you came. Oh, thank you. I can't believe you took time out of your day. Oh, I can't believe you drove all this way. Thank you. Just their presence lets you know that they love you. Or when they show up to help you move, right? And they spend hours hauling stuff in and out of a truck and all of this, and maybe you give them a little pizza as thanks, but you know they showed up when you needed help, or they answered your call in the middle of the night. When you were far from home, couldn't get home, or you were in jail, or you were in some place where you needed someone to pick up the phone, and you thought, who can I call? Who cares about me? Who might answer? And when that person answers your call, when they help you, when they listen, that's love. This is what God does for us in Jesus. He comes to us, he becomes flesh, makes his dwelling among us. He doesn't just keep his distance, keep his hands clean, and say, well, you guys got yourselves into this mess, you're going to have to get yourselves out of it. No, he comes to us in the mess, and lives with us, lives in our brokenness, lives in our hurt, in our grief, in our failure, in our pain. This is what love looks like. In 1 John, we've got the Gospel of John, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, early in the New Testament, tell the story of God sending his son Jesus and his birth and his life and his death and his resurrection, right? And then we've got all these letters in our New Testament, a lot of them from Paul, some from others, including some from John at the end. And we've got three of them, so we just creatively named them 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. And 1 John, in chapter 4, he says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God." He says, love isn't something we came up with. Love is something God came up with. God has been loving us before we even knew what love was. Love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. He's saying, man, if somebody knows God, if somebody's connected with God, the God who made them, the God who loves them, it's going to change the way they live. And so if you've got somebody in your life who says, oh, I know God, but they don't love, so it's nice that they say that, but their life is showing otherwise, because God is love. And then in verse 9, he says, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. I love it. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. God lives in us, and his love is made... Oh, wait, I skipped something. Sorry. We also ought to love one another. There we go. The one another's tripped me up. Verse 12, no one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. That last verse, man, I got to say, there's a part of me that loves it, there's a part of me that's scared of it. This idea that, like, the way that we live in the world demonstrates to people that God really loves them, or gives them one more reason to doubt. The way we live in the world, the way we love each other, the way we love other people. He says, no one's ever seen God. We get that, right? Okay, we haven't seen God. They haven't seen God. All right. We haven't seen God, but then there's somebody that comes along and says, hey, God made you, God loves you, God sent his son Jesus for you. That's the meaning behind Christmas. You know, we're doing all this because Jesus showed up in the world, came a little baby in that little manger, you know, all the nativity scenes, all the stuff, right? The angels, the shepherds, the wise men, all this is about Jesus, God giving us his son Jesus. Well, we haven't seen that. You know, we're surrounded by neighbors that think, well, that's a nice little story. That's kind of the decorations for this holiday, right? Just like at Easter, you know, it's about bunnies and eggs and whatever. Christmas is about presents and buying stuff and getting something on sale. And you know, this is what it's about. And sure, there's decorations with a little baby Jesus and stuff. But it says, no one's ever seen God. But if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. It's on display in us. Now, I will, if I'm going to read this closely, if I'm not just going to make this say what I want it to say, then I'm going to realize that this says, if we love one another, and his love is made complete in us. He's talking to Christians. He's talking to a church. He's talking to a group of people from different backgrounds, with different stuff going on. Every church in the early days of church was made up of a mix of folks from different social strata, rich, poor, the people who owned stuff and the people who were owned by others, people who were slaves, slaves and masters, eating together, worshiping together, people who had been separated by ethnic divisions, religious divisions, Jews and Gentiles. These people were all gathered together into one place. And they're saying, look, the world is watching and seeing how we love each other. The world is watching and seeing, do we love each other in spite of all those differences? Do we honestly treat each other as family? As brothers and sisters in Christ? Or do we just perpetuate the same divisions that the world gives us and hands us? No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. He says there's a watching world that's wondering, is this story really true? Well, some of them are wondering that. Some of them are just moving on. They don't care if it's true or not, right? They're not, that's not on the radar screen. But there are some who get to a point of wondering, is this true? That there's a God who made us, who loves us, who sent Jesus for us. Is this whole Christmas story have any connection with what really took place in the world? No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. And again, we're not talking about warm, fuzzy feelings, all right? We're not saying like, hey, that person on the other side of the room that you sit on that side, they sit on this side. You know, you were rooting for the Bears last night. They were rooting for the Packers. they voted one way in the last election. You voted the other way. You know, you smell good. They don't. You have stuff. They don't. All these divisions, all these antagonisms that the world gives us that we can get so caught up in, if these continue to define us and divide us, then the world looks and says, oh, I guess there's not really anything to that. But if instead they look and they see people loving each other in spite of very real differences, then they say, wow, maybe there is something to that. If they can love each other in spite of the ways they hurt each other, if they can reach out, and this is where I go beyond what he says right here, right? He's talking about loving each other. If we then can actually put into practice what Jesus says about loving enemies and loving folks who maybe they aren't following God, they don't know God at all, if they can love that jerk of a boss who mistreated them and was so rude to them and, you know, never gave them the good shift and all the rest, if they can love them in spite of that, man, maybe there's something to this. If they can love that neighbor who's been so annoying and so, you know, hurtful to them, if they can love that family member in spite of, fill in the blanks, maybe there's something to this. The love of God made complete in us is on display in us. Earlier in that same letter, he says this, "Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth." Which again reminds us that sometimes it's not about our feelings. Sometimes we don't have warm, fuzzy feelings. Sometimes we don't even have the right words to say, but what do our actions say? What's the reality that we put on display through our lives? This is what Jesus did for us, right? In coming to us, in making his dwelling among us. It reminds us of a story that was mentioned in the devotional book this last week. I feel like I mentioned this last Sunday. I don't remember now. He's quoting The West Wing, and the story Leo tells. Did I mention that last week? I mentioned it on Wednesday nights. I get confused, especially when I'm sleep deprived. My boys are almost done recovering from their tonsillectomies a week and a half ago. And I'm going to be glad when they're finally done with that. There's been some sleep issues, I think, connected with that that have not been fun for Dad. All right. Or for Mom. but that story, the story that Leo told in The West Wing about a man who finds himself in a hole and he sees his doctor walking by and he cries out for help and his doctor says, oh, yeah, writes out a prescription, drops it in the hole, keeps going. Sees his pastor walking by, calls out for help. The pastor says, oh, sure, writes out a prayer, drops it in the hole, keeps going. Then another friend walks by, sees him in the hole and jumps in with him. The guy in the hole says, what are you doing? Now we're both down here. And the friend who jumped in says, oh, yeah, but I've been here before. I know the way out. It's a character from the show who's talking about his struggles with alcohol and how he found in the recovery community a way out of that hole. As people came, made their dwelling next to him, people came and sat with him, lived with him, walked with him through the horror that he had turned his life into. People who refused to love with just words or speech, but decided to love with action and in truth. Who decided, you know what, it's that in truth part, with actions and in truth. The in truth part reminds me of God meeting us here in reality, right? It's that he meets us where we really live. not in some place where we want to live, not in some, not feeling stuff we wish we felt, not doing better than we really are. But when we find ourselves in a hole, he jumps in the hole with us, makes his dwelling among us. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness is not overcome it. This is the love that God shows us in his Son, Jesus Christ. And it's the love we're invited to then put on display for a watching world. And when you find yourself still in Advent and not yet at Christmas, when you find yourself still waiting and longing for God to show up and to make things right, that's when I find myself turning to verses like these from the Apostle Paul's letter to the Romans. The end of chapter 8, he says, "What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? Who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for his own? No one, for God himself has given us right standing with himself. Who then will condemn us? No one, for Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us. And he is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us." You might need to pause for a moment and realize that you are included in that us. And when people are condemning you or accusing you, you might need to remember that Jesus died for you, was raised to life for you, is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for you, because he loves you. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? As the scriptures say, "For your sake we're killed every day. We're being slaughtered like sheep." No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life. Neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation, will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Again, it's not a love that's just a bunch of fuzzy feelings. It's a love that is demonstrated in him coming to us, walking alongside us, meeting us in our place of need, jumping in the hole with us because he knows the way out. Because he knows that the God who made us loves us. Because he knows that he is stronger than sin and death and the devil, so that he can give us life. Nothing will ever be able to separate you from the love of God that's revealed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. This is the love that's on display for us at Christmas time. We're almost there. Christmas Eve is Wednesday. Christmas is almost here. It's the celebration of God showing up where we live out of love for you and me. Let's bow our heads and let's pray to him before we celebrate communion together. God, thank you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you that when you looked at us and saw us and the mess that we'd made of the lives that you'd given us, when you saw the damage that we did to ourselves and to each other and to the whole project, you didn't end the story there. But out of love for us, you persisted. You pursued. You chased us down. And here we are today in this room, in this service, hearing that the God who made us really does love us. That this is why you sent your son Jesus. So that we wouldn't perish, so that we wouldn't die of our failures and our sins and pulling away from you, our source of life. But instead, so we could be reconnected to you and find our sins forgiven. Find the stain of our sin washed off of us, so we can find the guilt and the weight of it lifted from our shoulders, so that we can find our Heavenly Father running to us, embracing us, welcoming us home. Thank you, God, for the great love that you have shown us in your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you that you didn't wait for us to love you. You loved us first. And as we think back on our lives, God, you have always taken the first step. You have always made the first move. You were coming to us, loving us, protecting us, providing for us, drawing us to yourself long before we even thought to move toward you. Thank you, God, for being gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Thank you for inviting us to be a part of this project of yours, this mission of yours in the world. Thank you that this love you have for us changes us from the inside out and makes us into a people of love, so that your love can be on display here and now in our messy, still messy reality as we love each other, as we love our neighbors. Thank you, God. Thank you that you have given us this gift of this tangible celebration, this sacrament that reminds us of your love meeting us here where we live, the sacrament of Holy Communion. We offer to you these gifts of bread and juice, and we pray that by your Spirit's presence here, we might meet our crucified and risen Savior in his body and in his blood. Jesus, we remember that on that night you were betrayed, you took bread and broke it, gave it to your disciples, and said, "This is my body broken for you. Eat this in remembrance of me." You took the cup, said, "This is my blood poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this in remembrance of me." Thank you, Jesus, for loving us like this, giving all of yourself to us, for us, so that we might have life. Today we offer ourselves to you, and we pray that your Spirit would change us from the inside out. As we confess our sins to you, as we confess our need of your mercy and grace, we've not always loved you with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. We've not always loved our neighbors as ourselves. We have not always demonstrated to a watching world the love that you have for us. God, there might be other things that you're dealing with us about right now, things that we need to recognize, acknowledge to you as sin, and repent of, turn our back on. And God, for some of us, this is just another weekly reminder of our need of your grace. For some of us, God, this might be the first time that we're really grappling with it and coming to realize that this thing is really true. Thank you, God, that your word is true, that when we confess our sins, you are faithful and just. You forgive us our sins. You cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank you, God, that each and every one of us in this room, hearing my voice, we can experience your grace and your love today because of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus, you gave your all for us, and by your life and death and resurrection, you broke the power of sin and death to set us free. Help us today to experience that freedom, to live in that grace. Thank you, God. Thank you for this love that you've shown us in your Son, Jesus Christ. It is in his name that we pray. Amen. Would you pray with me the prayer that Jesus taught us? Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. The musicians are going to come and lead us in one last song as we celebrate communion together. And just like communion is kind of this foretaste of the heavenly banquet that we'll have one day seated in God's presence, this song is a little foretaste of Christmas. As we sing, you're invited to come forward, take bread from the basket, dip it in the cup and eat it and return to your seats. It's open to all of us who are saying yes to Jesus today, who are hungry for his grace and grateful for his love. Let's celebrate. Jesus, Lord, Lord at thy birth, thank you once again for coming to us, making your dwelling among us, helping us to see your grace at work in our reality. Again, I pray that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, that you would change us from the inside out, that we might live in this world as the body of Christ, as your people of hope, of peace, of joy, of love. Thank you, God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.